Good morning. It's so edifying to be here. And it was good to feel the warmth this morning. I had to turn off the seat warmer in my car. sharing for just a few minutes from the Word of God. Just one moment in the Word of God is so encouraging. It's so edifying. It's so convicting. It's so healing. In the first letter to Peter, right at the beginning, chapter 1 and verse 3, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." And it gets better, "to an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, it does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you." And thinking this morning about eye contact, we are taught when we're in someone's presence and having a conversation that we should make eye contact. We can be thinking about something else. We can be insecure. We can be condemning ourselves. We can be bored. We can have all kinds of things floating around in our brain. And our eyes follow our brain, and our brain follows our eyes. And it's interesting that when we look at Jesus, he's our living hope. We have a living hope. Our hope is not in the economy. Our hope is not in the results of an election. Our hope is not in our job. Our hope is not in our spouse or in relationships. Those things are important. Those things, people are precious. But our hope is in Jesus Christ. He's a living hope. And Christ in us, the hope of glory in Colossians 1:27. And when we look into the face of Jesus, Paul at the end of his life in prison, the end of 2 Timothy, his letter, chapter 4, he says, there's no one there. But then he says, but God was with me. God was with me. And we can say this morning that, yes, God has been with us and God will be with us. But in this moment, God is with us. In this moment, God is with us. God is for us. And we don't have to wander around today intimidated by the world, by the atmosphere, and by the things in our own heart that don't belong there. Those things have all been taken care of at the cross. And we can stand today in the grace of God because that's where we are positioned. That's where we are seated in the heavenlies with Jesus Christ. And by faith, we have access to this grace in which we stand. And we stand firmly. Why? Because God does it all. He's already done it all. He's already finished the work. And so we go forward today, making eye contact with Jesus Christ, looking unto Jesus. And sometimes he takes us into places that we don't want to go. It could be a ministry. It could be affliction. It could be dealing with a situation with a loved one, someone dying, someone sick, a broken relationship, whatever it is. But God has promised that he'll take care of us. But we look unto him. We look unto him, and he's the one who is the originator of faith, and he is the one who will give us the faith that will please him, so that when we stand at the Bema, that we will be able to give a good report. And I look so forward to that day. And we can look so forward to that day that we can become distracted by the ministry that God has given us here. Each one of us, each one of you, you are so precious in the plan of God. And if we look at ourselves, we can say, who, me? Yeah, who, you? We are precious. We are precious. And so let's go forward into the new year. I'm already thinking it's January, but it's not. I'm all messed up. But we go forward into the new year. And the new year for us can start right now. We don't have to wait till Wednesday morning at 12:01 or whenever it officially starts. Right now, a new year in Jesus Christ. It's a great year because we have a great Savior. We have so much to look forward to, but we have so much now. Let's not to overlook the now of our lives. God is in this moment. Love you. God bless you. Amen.
All right, you may be seated. Good morning. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Pastor Jim, for the word. Wasn't that good? The word that he gave? Wow. That was excellent. Amazing. Regeneration, being born again, gives you and I a new capacity for life. We have been regenerated because God is so humble. Our theme has been humility, and we take that from the fact that our God is not like other gods who did not teach about humility, the pagan gods. You can read about them, Hercules and Thor and Odin and many others. There is not humility, but there is love and war and peace and lust and deceit and lying and cheating. Because the gods are like made, they are made like people because people make them. That's how our mind goes. So a sinful man worshiping a god that is made in his own image will not have a God of humility, because humility is not in us. We don't know about it. Just as love, in the absolute sense of God is love, we don't have that either. We must be regenerated. Yes, we have human loves, and we have a false humility and many other virtues or attributes that are derived from our human nature. But our human nature is sinful, and God is not. And for God to show us who he is why we have the Holy Spirit who does that. And before the Holy Spirit came with the new power and authority on the earth to all people, Joel 2:28 and Acts chapter 2 at Pentecost, people were living in darkness. But in Naphtali, in the north of Israel, a light has shined. A light has shined. That means Jesus came, born in Bethlehem, grew up in Galilee, and in Galilee was his place of headquarters, Capernaum, Chorazin, and Bethsaida, those three cities, a place where he was at the synagogue and walking, and the Sermon on the Mount was there, and the Sea of Galilee in the north part, and then he came south to Judah, to Judea, and he had his ministry as we read in the Gospels. And he taught about humility to his disciples. And we are curious about it. We want to know about it. We have a new capacity to hear it. We actually believe it is possible to be humble. What kind of humility? The humility that we see in God, where he even humbled himself, became a man, and we've been speaking about this the last few services, and he died. So today we are going to speak about humility and death. Humility, is that on?
Yes.
Okay. Humility and death. So let's turn to Philippians. Well, the first point is regeneration, very important. Regeneration. This means the new birth. This means the character of God must be planted in me. Now, when I grew up in the church, not this church, but I was in a different one where we didn't hear doctrine. We didn't hear teaching in doctrine, and I want to make something clear to you, and you learn this in your Bible, and that is that it isn't in man. He doesn't have Christ in him. When he's born into this world, he is natural. He doesn't have Christ in him. He is immoral, yes, but morality is not the same as spirituality. Morality is written in every man's conscience, Romans 2, 14 and 15. By morality, you only know about good and bad in relative contexts, but it's not God. God gave it, but it's not God. You want God. I want God in my life. Morality is not God. It's an evidence of God. It's an evidence that God exists. But in itself, it is not God. If you're driving your car and you're keeping the speed limit because of your conscience, that's God gave you the conscience and wrote in your heart, and then you're doing it. But because you are doing it doesn't mean that you are experiencing God. You're just living a natural life. But God writing the conscience is an evidence that the universe is moral, and that therefore if it's moral, then there must be a moral leader. There must be something higher that gave it. Just like if you hear a piece of music, you say, oh, that's very good, but who wrote it? Or you see a bird, you say, oh, that's great, that's amazing. Who made it? Or you look at a child, where did he come from? How did that happen? Who did this? Who is bigger than the house? Like you have an architect and a house, but I want to know, like, who had it in his mind? Or an automobile and an engineer, who had it in his mind? Who made it? So that's what we're looking for, God. And you can't find him without regeneration. It doesn't happen. You may believe in him, you may have experiences, but you must be born again by believing in Christ. When you believe in Christ, then you are regenerated. And that means the nature of Christ comes in you. That's a spiritual birth. That's John 3, 5, Titus 3, 5. That new birth gives you now the potential. This is, you have the capacity to be humble in the sense that God is humble. You have the capacity now to love in the sense that God is love. You have the capacity for truth in the sense that God is true. In an inexhaustible sense, no. Just like, you cannot measure. You cannot measure the infinite. But the infinite God lives in us. And that truth that God is, he is the truth. And grace that is now in us through the new birth. Well, then why am I so spiritually immature? Why am I so spiritually dead? Why am I indifferent to it? Why don't I feel something strong? Or why don't I, and you can fill in the blank, why don't I understand the Bible more? Why aren't my prayers answered? And the answer is here. There is an answer for you. God speaks to you. That world that you find to be so inefficient or unsatisfying is designed by God to draw you to him. And he is the answer for all those things. And that's where you are growing. One time as a pastor, a brother became a believer. He became a brother and he was very excited about it. He was very excited, and he said, Pastor, Jesus saved me. Jesus is in my life now. Just tell me what am I supposed to do. like, tell me what to do. Tell me what to do. I want to know what to do. I will do it. I am very excited about this. I want Jesus in my life. Just tell me what to do. And I know what he was looking for. It's what we're all looking for. It's what the natural man wants. The spiritual man wants it too, but it doesn't come to us in programs. It doesn't come to us by lists. Like, you want a list? I'll make a list for you, you know. Pray, read your Bible, go to church, share your faith, and make a short list. Okay, here, go do it. What will you find after he comes back 3 months later? I did it all. But. What's the but? But. I did it all. I obeyed. I did it all. But. What's the but? I'm looking for God. But. I'm looking for God. Where is God? Pastor, do you have a list for me? No, I don't. I don't have a list, and you don't need a list. You are regenerated. You have a new heart. You have a heart for God. You have a heart for God now. You have love in your heart for God. That's how we live. In the good times and the bad times, when you're satisfied, when you're not satisfied, you have been regenerated and Christ is in you. And you're learning how to walk with him. Okay, that's just to preface what I want to say here. I had you turn to 2 Corinthians? No, I didn't? Okay. 2 Corinthians 4. No, wasn't it Philippians? Yeah, Philippians 2, bear with me. Maybe what I just said will get clarified in the message. Philippians chapter 2, we have the humility of God. And this must be a comfort to us. He being in the form of God, verse 6, that's not outward form, that's the actual essence of God. Thought it not robbery to be equal with God. He did not look to grasp to being God. He was willing to be submitted to his Father and live as a servant, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. And that's the verse for us. He humbled himself, became obedient unto death. So we have humility and death. And this is in evidence of how humble God is. So we have not only death like in a hospital room or death in a nursing home or death by a car accident, but we have a long death by pain and much suffering, the death of the cross. And when he was hanging there, they said, come down, but he wouldn't come down because he was humble and obedient to the Father. When he was in the Garden of Gethsemane and he asked for the cup to pass, he was humble. He asked 3 times, maybe more. He was humble. And then he submitted and was humble and went to the cross for us to show us humility. It's amazing when you have the way to get out of something, you have a way to get out of it. You can reason your way out. You can pay money and get out of trouble. You could make an argument, you could meet a powerful person, you can make a phone call, and you're out of it. You're out of the death. It's over. You escaped. Your way, my way, our way. Because we are proud. Not to say we can't do those things, but what we are saying is there is a spiritual walk that the natural man doesn't know about because you're regenerated. So you have a way of escape, but your regenerated self, you're saying you cannot lie. Yeah, but if I lied, I could get out of it. Yeah, but you're regenerated, so now you don't think about lying to get out of it. You think about God's will, God's guidance, God's way. Well, I could get out of it if I stole something. I could steal. I can steal and it would solve my problem. But no, I'm regenerated. I cannot. I can't do that like I used to do it, but I can't do it anymore. I cannot steal or lie or cheat or pick up the phone and do something. But this is God with you. God is with you. And God is leading you and God is teaching you. And this is spiritual. It's more than moral, because many times moral things, maybe we'll make this point, that things may be moral and they also may be legal. Remember Mark DeMoss said this? Things may be moral, they may be legal, but they may not be wise. But are they wise? You know? It may be legal for me to pick up the phone and get out of my trouble. And it may be morally acceptable, but is it wise? Is it God that is in our hearts leading us in this new way of life, this spirit of humility, where we are submitted to God and obey God? Beautiful, huh? Let me show you one thing here, because I'm going somewhere with this one. I think we should go now to 2 Corinthians 4. In verse 7, 2 Corinthians 4, 7. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels. What is it? The treasure in earthen vessels, the regenerated person. Christ in us, the treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God, not of us. What happened? It was like we obeyed God, and God came out of our hearts. We obeyed God, and the river flowed out of our belly in John 7. What happened? How did you get revival? By the way, I was blowing leaves yesterday. I want to talk about leaves for a second. For a few minutes, not long. I don't want to give you the impression that I was working hard. But leaves. When they come out, there's the bud, and then the leaf comes fast, right? A couple of weeks, 1 week. The leaf is beautiful. Is it green? Is it alive? Is it velvety? Is it soft? Does it smell good? It's alive. That leaf is amazing, isn't it? And what it does for the tree, what leaves are. And then what happens in time? Okay, they dry out. Okay, they dry out. They drop off the tree. There in the yard, and what is their value now? What is the value of that brown, crispy, crusty blown in the air. What is the value of that leaf? It's like nothing. It's over. It's gone. Blow it away. Get rid of it. Blow it away. It's over. This is like the Christian life for people. I actually think that the Christian life is like that for us. It is. Yeah, people learn to pray. They learn to believe. They learn to love. They learn faith. They have life. And then for some reason, they die. But they actually don't, but they do. Why do they die? They get bored with the Christian life. They get tired. They get worn out. They get familiar. They say, I've been there, done that. They go through the motions. And they go through the motions so much that it becomes wearisome to them, and they have lost God. They lost God. Because it says in the book of Revelation, there's a river. Beside the river are trees planted, and it says their leaves every month are given for the healing. For the healing, is it the healing of the nations? That those leaves don't die. Those leaves are there. It's kind of like God is like that. So the picture could go like this way. Your leaf is dying, and it's like, but actually, you are renewed. Romans 12:3, your mind is renewed, transformed. You are changed. You are refreshed. You have a treasure in earthen vessel. That treasure doesn't die. That treasure is God. That God is in you. Walk in him. Like learn the walk by faith and trust him. Trust in God. Proverbs 3:5. Trust in God. Yeah, but you don't know about my marriage. Yeah, I know. You're a dried up leaf. I've seen a lot of those. I've been one myself. But I've also seen the healing leaf that comes every month, it says in the scripture. Every month, that leaf has life and is healing in heaven. It's amazing, isn't it? And how about on this earth? I have met Christians that have adopted the methods of the Christian life, and they eventually died. And then I have met Christians who have found what it means to live by faith, and they don't die. They come back alive again, alive again. Alive again. They have Jesus in their heart again. They are kind. They are quiet. They are humble. They are willing. They are not perfect. They maybe get discouraged or hurt or whatever, like all. But then what happened? How did it happen? They came alive again. They came alive again. How did that happen? It happens. Because it's God. Let's look at this 2 Corinthians 4, and then one other text, and we'll be done here. But look at chapter 4, verse 8. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. Lord, give us the list of the things we should do. And he goes, I don't have a list for you. But I'm going to tell you this story. That we have so much trouble on every side, but it didn't crush us. We came alive again because we have a treasure in the earthen vessel. That's amazing. But God requires humility. There must be something about us in our hearts that because of the regeneration, we have that humility. And we must walk in humility. And it says in 1 Peter 5, we must be clothed with humility. Like we are living in it through the day. We are having it through the summertime. We have it through the wintertime. We have it in the good time and the bad time. Go to the perplexed. We are perplexed but not in despair. Persecuted. but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. Do you see that? Okay. Okay, it's great. That's something to memorize right there. Yeah. The dying of the Lord Jesus. This is a separate message. I don't want to be, but I think it'll be fascinating for you. The dying of the Lord Jesus. Right. Give me some definition of that death. The dying of the Lord Jesus. Give some description of it. He was alone. When you die like Jesus died, the dying of the Lord Jesus, are you alone? Yeah, people don't understand me. I'm alone. I died alone, the dying of the Lord Jesus. That did people make fun of him? Yes, they made fun of him. Did he look foolish? Yes, he did. Yeah, can you die that way? In your life circumstances, no, I'm going to pick up and make the phone call. I'm going to nail my enemy. I can nail my enemy. Well, the dying of the Lord Jesus is the enemy nailed him. The enemy put him to death. Can you die like that? I can't. I'm so eager to protect myself. I'm so eager to have it my way. I'm so eager to be comfortable. I'm so eager to get enough sleep, to get enough food to eat, to have my friends around me, to get the support from others. I'm so eager to be in company with my best friends or with the people that will love me and accept me. I'm so eager to be with my family. But can you die the death of the Lord Jesus? And the answer is no way. But you are regenerated. Yes, you can. You are regenerated. This is the nature of Christ in you. That's why when you serve, you don't tell anybody. Nobody needs to know. That's why your reputation isn't that important to you. They don't need to know. You don't have to protect yourself because you have the dying of the Lord. You are capable of living a life differently from the world. And in this death, you can study it and think about it. They mocked him. He was a fool. Was he weak? He was weak. By the way, the pagan people didn't like a weak God. The pagans did not worship weak gods. And by the way, in Islam, one reason why people in prison gravitate to it is because the Islamic God is a strong God. He is powerful. He is a strong God. And these guys want a strong God, not a wimpy God. And by the way, the Nazis had it that way too. Hitler didn't like a weak God. And the Gestapo and the Nazi party, they even visited pastors and they told them that the German God is not a weak God. He is a strong God. We are supermen, right? We are a strong race with a strong God. They don't like this one, and nor do we, actually. We want the big, powerful guy, and we want the answer, and we want the diplomas, and we want the reputation, and we want the career, and we want the bank account, and the investments, and the five houses, and we want life to be like that. That's power. That's strength. But look at the dying of the Lord Jesus. The dying of the Lord. We are here to have the dying of the Lord Jesus in our lives and to manifest something else. That's the nature of God. He is a weak God, a humble God, a serving God, a giving God. And it comes back again. It comes back. It's like, whoa, death works in me, but then life works in you. What a great message that is. So, how do I leave you? I had one other part. I would love to share it, but okay. But yeah, but I'll do it later, sometime this coming decade. But thank you for listening, and I really think that all of us need spiritual direction. And if you just leave us to ourselves, we will drift and become like dry leaves. But when you are regenerated, that's in you, but that being provoked by spiritual guidance, provoked by a brother who, like Pastor Jim just shared, provoked in my faith, like Pastor Shabelli and Linda as examples for me, and for like just all of our friends and all of this, were provoked. A young lady who is humble and walking with God in Bible school, and you see her life and think about her decisions and her faith. And you just are drawn to the fact that people are regenerated and that this life of spiritual direction is needed. And we just can't live life our way without being challenged to say, come on, let's put on the Lord Jesus Christ. We are regenerated. Let's walk that way and let's see what God will do. And God will do something for you in your life. God will do something for you. You will see it. And that light, that leaf, and again, it comes, there it is, that Jesus is there in your heart and mind. Amen. Lord, our body life is made up of spiritual guidance. And some of us, we do drift to like programs, got that done, mastered that, or got that done, I did this and I did that, and then we find ourselves dried out. We can't put you in a program, Lord. We cannot put you in a box, and we cannot wake up one day saying, how did this terrible thing happen to me? I believe in God. How come this terrible thing happened to me? And God will be there with you in that terrible thing, and he say, I am here. I am here. And hear me. And I will send someone to you to comfort you and teach you and help you and love you. And they won't even know they're there for that reason, but it will happen. There'll be spiritual guidance given to you. And you will put on the Lord Jesus Christ by faith. So Lord, lead us as a church in this, and our Bible studies, our fellowship, our walk of faith and humility. You showed it to us, and we want it in your name. Lastly, if you haven't come to Jesus, we want to give you the invitation in your heart. Maybe a moment has occurred to you right now in your heart to turn to him. Maybe you're sitting home listening online, but a moment has come to your heart. Please say yes to Jesus. He answers you, and you are regenerated by his grace because he loves you. He forgives you and gives you the new birth. In Christ's name, amen.